The Bakersfield Chinmaya Mission presents the Bhagavad Gita with Dr. Anil Mehta.
I would just like to briefly summarize the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita up to what we have covered up to the seventh chapter. That will give us a background for the eighth chapter that we are going to start. The Bhagavad Gita is, as we know, a dialogue between the teacher, who is the Lord himself, Lord Sri Krishna, and the student, who is confused, who does not know what is my goal in life, what is my purpose, what am I supposed to do. He's confronted with a major challenge where he's on the side of the good and the evil are his own cousins, his own family, and he has to fight them because they have, not only they have taken over the kingdom, but they are basically evil and corrupt and they need to be eliminated. But he is confused because he says these people are my kith and kin, my cousins, my grandfather, and you know, my teacher, and what should I do? So in that challenge, he approaches the teacher, who is the Lord Sri Krishna himself, for guidance. And the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is called Arjun Vishad Yoga, where we see the scene of the battle, and Arjuna, our hero, is confused because he doesn't know what he has to do, and he sees, he thinks he has to fight the enemy, but they are his own family members, and he says, I cannot fight them, even though I know what I'm doing is right, and they are evil, and they are corrupt, but I cannot. And so the first chapter is a description of his sorrow. It's called Arjun Vishad Yoga. In the second chapter, the Lord, the teacher, starts the teaching by scientifically, that's why it is called Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya means it is a very scientific, it is a very chronological, so very scientifically, logically, he explains to him why your thinking is wrong, why you are not thinking correctly. So he diagnoses the problem, gives him the problem, and then slowly starts solving it, just as a psychiatrist, when a patient comes, he's mentally, deluded, then he first diagnoses the problem, tells him this is your problem, and then works on solving it. And in the second chapter, not only he gives him a true vision of what he should do, but also tells him what is the goal of life. It is called the Sthita Prajna Lakshana. I mean, what is the highest goal that one can achieve in this life? So the second chapter is considered as an introduction to the entire Gita, where he introduces the subject and says, what am I going to talk in the next 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita? And also gives him a goal that one should shoot for, so that if I am here but I want to reach there, what are the qualities I have to acquire to reach that? So that is the beauty of the second chapter. Then in the third chapter, he talks about Karma Yoga, or what is the right attitude with which you act in the world. When I'm acting, everybody has to work. Nobody here can subsist without working, So how am I to work? What should be my attitude? And how should I deal with people is the essence of the third chapter. In the fourth chapter, the teacher then talks about the yajna spirit, how we can work together. Now I have to first work, but now how can I work with everybody else, where we all sync our individual differences, get a higher goal, and everybody work together. That is called the yajna spirit, where people get together in a community and work for a higher goal. It could be, the benefit of the nation, the benefit of the state, maybe for my church, for my community, for my city, for my company, where I sink my own selfish interest and work unselfishly for the benefit of all. Then in the fifth chapter, he talks about karma sannyas, how I can even renounce the sense of doership. See, when I do something wonderful, I'm a great karma yogi, I did so much service for the community, then I may get a sense of ego, I am somebody special, I am somebody great. So in the fifth chapter, he tells us how one can give up this ego, this feeling that I am somebody special, and recognize that there is one Lord who has given me the ability to work, and whatever I have done, achieved, is not my own, but it is somebody else. My hands, my feet, my everything I have is a gift from the Lord. So he is the one that is working through me. So that renunciation is very, very important. Otherwise, A person on the spiritual path or on the path of service can develop an ego, an arrogance, a pride that I am somebody great. So now these first five chapters talk about how to work in the world. This is a beautiful series of chapters. And from the sixth, he takes us higher. The teacher takes us to the what is beyond this world. You know, so far all I have seen is this world, you know, where I deal with people and persons and problems, and I like this one and I don't like this one. But there is an entity beyond this world. You can call it as God or Brahman or Father in Heaven or Allah or the consciousness. Who is that? How am I to know him? So the sixth chapter deals with the path of meditation, because meditation is the most wonderful way, is the best way to reach this highest state. The highest state of realization, self-realization or God-realization. So the entire sixth chapter is devoted to the path of meditation, the technique of meditation, the benefits of meditation, why I should meditate, what are the results of meditation. I see the people who come to our Thursday evening class where we talk about meditation and we all meditate together. So the sixth chapter is devoted to the path of meditation. Then in the seventh, eighth, and ninth, in my opinion, is the highest knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, because it talks about Brahman, or who is this God, where does he reside, who is he, what is his nature, how can I reach him, how can I know him. And one may think, you know, it is something very simple, but the fact is that even though the Lord is everywhere, he is in everything, we cannot see him. I cannot perceive him. I cannot talk to him. I mean, he's listening to what I'm saying, but I don't see where he is. All I see is the people, and I see the things, and I see the objects, and then I see all the problems in the world, and the stress, and the strain, and, you know, good people and bad people, and all these horrible things happening. Then I say, if this world is so bad, where is God? Why is he not doing anything? What does he do? You know, where is he? Does he just create the world and leave it alone to suffer? And so all these questions come, and then people start blaming him or criticizing him. You know, I have a terrible husband, it is your fault. My children are bad, it is your fault. My boss is bad, it is your fault. The economy is bad, it is your fault. So we start blaming him, we start criticizing him. So to understand what is the nature of this Lord, the 7th, 8th and 9th chapter is a summary of the Upanishads. When we do the Gita Dhyana, we say Sarvo Upanishado Gavo Dorda Gopalanandana. All the Upanishads are cows, and Gopal Nandana, Krishna was a cowherd. If you know the story of Krishna when he was born, that's why in Gokul, when the idol we have, and even here we see Krishna in the middle with a cow, because he grew up in a cowherd's home. And he used to milk the cow. He would take the cow for grazing and milk them. So we said he's the cowherd that milks the essence of the Upanishads. The Upanishads are cows, and he is the one that has milked the essence of the Upanishads for us. Partho Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta. And Partha, Arjuna, is the calf. See, when a cow is milked, the cow does not give milk for an individual. She gives milk for her calf. And that's why a cowherd will bring the calf in front of the cow. And when the cow sees the calf in love, all the milk flows. But then the poor calf hardly gets to enjoy the milk. We are the ones who benefit from it. So similarly, Arjuna is the calf, the student, because the teacher gave this message for the student. But the student enjoyed it, and we even today are benefiting from it, from this beautiful knowledge. So that's why we say that he is the cowherd that has got the essence of the highest knowledge and made it very simple for us to understand. That's why the Bhagavad Gita is a very practical text. It's not something very obtuse. And if you have a right teacher like Swami Chinmayananda has in his books, the commentary, it becomes very easy to understand and to apply in the life. So in the seventh chapter, he talks about this highest being, which they call as Brahman or God or Father in Heaven or Allah or Krishna, and what is his nature, and how does a wise person reach him? So that's why it is, he says, jnanam vijnanam. So I'll tell you the knowledge and also how to apply that in your life. So knowledge without application is useless, right? If I know all the medicine, I have studied all the books, but when I see a patient, I get confused. I don't know whether his problem is heart or kidneys or liver. Then, you know, that knowledge is useless to me. So this knowledge, how it can be applied, is given in the seventh chapter, just the introduction of that. What is the nature of God? What is the nature of the wise person? And how a wise person, having understood this knowledge, how does he or she work in the world? How does he or she apply this knowledge in the world is briefly hinted at in the seventh chapter, which is a very, very beautiful chapter, which we just finished last year. Now today comes the eighth chapter, where this idea of the seventh chapter is continued. That who is this God? What is the nature of the wise man or woman, of course? How does this wise person apply this knowledge? How does he or she function in the world? And more practical steps on how to realize the truth. So from the theoretical explanation in the seventh, he is now coming to the practical steps. How I can, in my world, working in the world, how can I understand? How can I apply this knowledge? So it's a very, very practical chapter. Even though the knowledge is highest, but the teacher has made it very simple. And then, of course, when we read the commentary of Swami Chinmayananda, I think I would request everybody to have this, because Swamiji has made this teaching very simple. And when I speak, I do use that and some of the other material. So that will help us to understand this knowledge. So how can I practically now apply this knowledge is the truth, is the message of the eighth chapter. So with this maybe 10 or 15 minute introduction, we can now go into the heart of the 8th chapter. Now the 8th chapter is connected beautifully with the 7th chapter. If you read the last verse of the 7th chapter, Sadhi Bhutadi Daivam Maam Sadhi Yajnam Chaye Viduhu Prayan Kale Pichamam Te Vidur Yukta Chetasaha. So the teacher in the ending of the 7th chapter says that I am Adi Bhuta, Adi Deva, and Adi Yajna. Now these are three terms that he introduces at the end of the 7th chapter, which have not appeared in the Bhagavad Gita, and they are the terms from the Upanishads, and they are brand new philosophy, and Arjuna is confused, you know. Where did these terms come from? What do they mean? And then he says that how a person who knows me, here Krishna is not just the form, but Krishna is identifying himself with the Lord of the universe, the consciousness. He says, one who knows this Lord of the consciousness as Adi Bhuta, Adi Daiva, and Adi Yajna, at the time of death, he has his mind on me and he reaches me, the Lord. The Lord says that one who knows me and knows my qualities reaches me. So Arjuna is confused. He said, where did these terms come from? You know, I don't know the meaning of these terms. I have never heard them. And I do not know how to reach you at the time of death. So the beginning of the 8th chapter, Arjuna asks, what are these terms? That these new terms you have introduced. Arjuna is not, he's not a passive student. He's not a person who falls asleep. Some of us, you know, when we are in the medical school or in the professor's class, we doze off, and then after a while say, what did he say? And then we ask our friend for the notes, you know, can you give me the notes that he, so I can. No, but Arjuna is very alert. He right away says, okay. So it's like, you know, your teacher is there, you catch him by the beard. Swamiji in his commentary says, Krishna didn't have a beard, but he had long hair. So Arjuna caught him by the hair. Okay, now, wait a minute, where are you going? Give me the meaning of what. So it is just his way of joking. The idea is that he is alert, and he asks the teacher, what is the meaning of the terms? And so we'll start with the meanings of these terms today, which kind of gives us the essence of who God is, what is his nature.
This concludes the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita with Dr. Anil Mehta.